Welcome to the Advisor Arena Podcast with your hosts Jamie Malm and Josh Watson. This show is designed to share ideas and help you gain insight from some of your most successful peers. We will discuss industry news, hot topics, and challenges you may face, as well as give you some possible solutions. Thanks for joining us today. Let's get started.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the Advisor Arena Podcast. I am your host, Jamie Malm, and here with Josh Watson. Hi, Josh.
Hello. Great to be back for another episode.
Yeah, I think we announced this last time, but we've moved to monthly. So hopefully the idea behind that is bring maybe more higher quality content, less quantity.
Exactly.
I think we're delivering today. We're going to talk about Trump accounts, which we're getting a lot of questions on. So if you've been asked about these in the last few weeks, you're definitely not alone. We're going to dig into this a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. It's late spring 2026. Just so everybody knows, the accounts go live July 4th. And like you said, the questions, they're already rolling in. So by the time this episode is done, you're going to be one of the most confident people to have the conversation with.
That is the plan. So we got a lot of ground to cover. Let's get into the specifics. And I will preface this by saying, if you're listening and thinking, well, it's great to educate, but I need some content in which to be proactive and reach out on this, Gradient is putting all of this together for you. So you will have access to client-facing material, things that you can use directly with your clients. If you want to do your own podcast, you want to do your own kind of marketing and education for your clients on this, we've got you. So that's coming. Let's build the foundation a little bit. So a Trump account, it's officially being called a starter retirement account. If you look at the legislation, it's nothing more than a tax advantaged savings and investment account open for a child. The key word on that, though, is it is a retirement. So a starter retirement account. It's not a college savings account. It's not a flexible spending vehicle. It is designed for one thing, and that's long-term wealth building, really starting at birth. So the account has a growth period that runs from the day it's open to the end of the child's 17th year. During that period, no withdrawals allowed. Money is locked in until they are 18. The initial plan for this is that new accounts have to be opened at BNY Mellon through Robinhood. So that is the designated custodian. That is the one custodian for these, at least initially. The plan is they'll open that up later. To apply for it, it is form 4547, or you go directly to trumpaccounts.gov. And like you said, accounts go live July 4th. We are expecting that people are going to start seeing some activation instructions, maybe even have received some now, certainly next month. So now is the time to start preparing your clients for next steps.
Right. And so I think before we get into like the contribution types, I think a big critical difference and that could trip people up is the annual contribution deadline is actually December 31st and not April 15th, like IRAs and HSAs. So that could really matter for your year-end planning and your client reminder workflows. So be sure and write that down.
Also, yeah, that's a good point.
Right. There are as far as the four contribution types are concerned, or how you get money into a Trump account, they each have different rules. They have different limits, different tax treatment. And confusing them is where advisors really can make, I guess, costly mistakes for the clients. So the first bucket one, is going to be direct contributions. So this is when the one that most clients will be familiar with. So anyone can contribute, parents, grandparents, family, friends, which is unique. The annual limit is $5,000. And that's combined cap shared with any employer contributions as well. So these are all after-tax, non-deductible contributions, which means they create basis in the account, cost basis, right? So that'll matter when it comes time to distribute the money. So remember that.
Yeah, that is an important distinction, that cost basis. So that's an important differentiating factor in when the money comes out, because that is coming out then, of course, tax-free. So we'll see them compared to like a traditional IRA, but a little bit of a differing component there. You mentioned something there with employer contributions, and that I thought was a little bit confusing when I first read it, because I thought, well, employer contributions, that seems odd. But employers can contribute for their employees' children. Employers can contribute up to $2,500 per year per employee. It does count towards the same $5,000 combined cap. But the upside for clients is those employer contributions are excluded from taxable income. So one thing to note is it has to be broadly available. So if you have an employer that's going to offer this benefit, it has to be available to everyone. They can't segment out like highly compensated employees or something along those lines.
Absolutely. And that kind of brings us to our third bucket, bucket three, which is qualified general contributions, or QGCs, we'll just call them. So these actually come from charities or government entities to a qualified class of beneficiaries. So QGCs, they really have no dollar limit. They don't count against the $5,000 direct and employer combined cap. They're excluded from federal income. So there is some IRS guidance still pending on QGCs and the mechanics and the rules behind those, but just be aware that they do exist.
I'm not going to be able to say QGCs because I'm too used to saying QCD.
It's a tongue twister.
I'm not going to be able to retrain my brain because I just think qualified charitable distribution, QCD. So yeah, I'm going to have to just say the whole thing. This is another one that I think is kind of confusing because there's not a lot of info out there yet. So I'll preface this episode with, we are going based on what we know thus far. These aren't live yet. So could something change? Could legislation, be modified? Could there be some guidance that's clarified? Absolutely. So we're going to give it our best go here to tell you what we know thus far from all of our credible sources. But those qualified general contributions, think of it like a big organization wants to make a donation to a 501c3, so an actual charitable organization that's going to benefit a large group of kids. So it's not like, hey, how can my kid get a donation from a charity? It would be a large group of children that would get a mass donation that would then be equally distributed. That does not go against the individual child's $5,000 limit, and there is no cap on how much a charity could contribute. So still I'm a little unclear on, exactly how that'll play out. So just watch for more information on that. We just wanted you to be aware that it does exist. The fourth one, which I think is the one that we're hearing the most about, or at least young clients are asking about, is what's being called the pilot program. This is for children born between 2025 and 2028. The federal government's making a one-time $1,000 deposit into that Trump account. That does not count against the $5,000. That's excluded for income. It does not create basis because it's not your money. You didn't put it in there. But here's something that I think we should all be aware of and something that advisors can really help their clients with. This is not automatic. The family has to go actively sign up for it, elect it on that form 4547, or go to trumpaccounts.gov. I believe you can go and fill out the form now. And that's the question that we're getting sometimes is, well, I did the form, now what? Well, they're not live yet. And so it probably feels a little odd, like, well, I did it, but nothing's happening. That's right. It's a little premature. But if you have clients with children that are born in that window, this is not an immediate, it doesn't happen automatically. It has to be something that they elect, and you do not want them to leave that $1,000 on the table. So help them be proactive with that.
100%. And just to like kind of put some numbers to that, which is pretty remarkable. If you think about, if you took that $1,000, let's just say it grows at a 6% average annual return, right? That thousand by 18 turns into 2,900. At age 40, that becomes 10,300. And by age 59, you've got over $32,000 in there just from one federal deposit. So It makes a ton of sense to make sure your clients are aware of this and help them file the form and do what they need to do to take advantage of it.
Yeah. I mean, with no additional savings, nothing that you put on your own. So imagine what would happen if you layered your own contributions on top of that. The younger you start, the more you have that power of compounding. And it's kind of fun to see kids realize that. So, you know, part of this is an education on how you plan for your future. One thing I will say in the rules or mechanics around this growth period is investment options are very restricted. The Trump accounts can only hold broad U.S. equity index mutual funds or ETFs with expense ratios of 10 basis points or less. So you can't do any sector funds, no individual stocks or bonds, nothing with fees that are above that 0.10% threshold. Once the client, or excuse me, once the child takes control at 18 and maybe they want to potentially roll it to an IRA or something of that sort, which we'll talk about later, then those restrictions lift. But 0 to 18, you've got to abide by the rules. It's got to just be in a low cost index fund. The plan is long-term growth. So that's what you got to do.
Right. And I think that is where the real advisor value lives, right? So the mechanics you just walked through are important, but also knowing the rules is just as important. Knowing the traps, knowing what to do at age 18, this is where you can really separate yourself. So let's start with a few of the traps to watch out for. Yeah. I would say number one is the Form 709 gift tax trap. So this is the one that's going to catch grandparents completely off guard. Mm-hmm. They contribute, they need to file that form. So that's important. The other one is the annual gift tax exclusion. That's $19,000 per person in 2026. So if you're going to, you know, contribute to these, that's going to count against your gift tax exclusion. So,
I think the confusion with the gift tax is the gift tax, my understanding is it has to be a present interest gift where the recipient has immediate access. The problem with the Trump account contributions is, let's say I'm a grandparent and I make a contribution, that child doesn't have access to it immediately. They don't get access to it until they're 18. So the IRS may classify that as a future interest gift, which means I can't use my annual exclusion. So my intent as a grandparent might be, I'm going to make the contributions. I'm going to use my $19,000 annual or part of it. Obviously, I'm going to use part of that exclusion and that may not apply. So we don't want people to be caught off guard by that.
Right. So it's not necessarily a tax bill per se. It kind of depends on the lifetime exclusion usage, but it does create a Form 709 filing requirement that a lot of people probably didn't see or won't see coming. So the workaround, gift the funds to a custodian account first, then transfer the funds to the Trump account. And that step may preserve the present interest treatment. So, and then of course, always you're going to have to coordinate with the client's tax professional.
I think that's key. We don't want to set you up to be giving tax advice, of course, but having access, internally within your own firm or if it's a CPA that Gradient's providing, but having that coordination with a tax professional to make sure that everybody knows what's coming and how to play within the rules on this. So that leads us to kind of the watch number two, which is the kiddie tax on Roth conversions. This one matters enormously for the strategy that we're about to discuss next, which is, what do I want to do with this after I turn 18? One of those options is I could convert it to a Roth. Well, if you convert the Roth and you are a full-time student whose earned income is less than half the support and the conversion income is above 2,700, there's all these little rules in here, then it gets taxed at the parents' rate, not the child's rate. And if the parents are in a high tax bracket, that can be a really painful surprise. So the optimal conversion window would be after the child is financially independent. So not in that like 18 to 24 range where they're a full-time student who maybe aren't fully supporting themselves. That's where you're going to run into trouble. And I would say if the parents are planning to cover the tax bill anyway, you know, maybe run the numbers and see if it makes sense. But you don't want to plan on the conversion thinking perfect time. My kid hardly makes any money, so he'll be in a low tax bracket. And then I didn't understand the tax code correctly. Actually, parents are in the highest bracket and now kid owes taxes at the highest parent's tax rate. That'd be a terrible surprise.
Yeah, does not feel good there. Which and that kind of brings us to our third watch out. And this one's pretty easy to miss, and that's the ABLE account rollover window. So if there's children, they have a qualifying disability, the entire TRUMP account balance, they can roll it over to a Section 529A ABLE account, which is a pretty big benefit because ABLE accounts, they don't affect eligibility for other government benefits like Social Security and Medicaid. So.
Yeah, I think the big thing about there, at least what I'm seeing the warnings on, is that rollover can only happen in the year the child turns 17. So you have 1 year, one window. If you miss it, it's gone. So for any client with a child with a disability, that will be an important reminder and guidance that you can provide.
Right. And when the growth period ends, so let's talk about the age 18 decision and kind of what you can do there. And so when the growth period ends, the child becomes the account owner and they really have four options. And so how they choose and whether they've been properly prepared is probably going to be one of the most important planning moments in this whole structure. So let's talk about each one of those as well. So first one, we just keep it as a TRUMP account, right? So the account continues to operate pretty much like a traditional IRA. Withdrawals are allowed. They're subject to income tax on the pre-tax portion and a 10% early withdrawal penalty before age 59 and a half. There are a few exceptions. For instance, a first home purchase up to $10,000, education expenses, birth or the adoption of a child up to $5,000. So there are some options, but with that one, they've got to keep it to 59 and a half.
Yeah, just to be clear, you said it at the beginning, but I want to make sure it doesn't get overlooked. This is the age 18 decision. A reminder, these are totally locked up. You're not doing anything 0 to 18. But at 18, then we need to provide a little more guidance. So option one, like you said, keep it as a TRUMP account. Option two, you could roll it to a traditional IRA. So if, for example, maybe the child has some other IRAs, maybe they're thinking about doing some future Roth conversions, this would be a good option, especially if we want to broaden maybe how we're investing, do something different. We want to start looking at how this fits into the overall picture. It opens up some additional contribution types like a SEP or a simple where we can get it into an actual IRA. The third option then is, well, I could convert it to a Roth. We just touched on this and about some of the watch outs for doing this, but I do think this is the one that everybody's going to get most excited about because obviously I have this account that is a long-term growth account. Maybe I even got some seed money from the government. I convert it to my Roth. Yes, I owe taxes on any of that pre-tax portion, but just like any Roth conversion, then after that, any kind of qualified withdrawals are completely tax-free. So this will be one I think that advisors are going to get asked a lot about. Okay, I get the TRUMP account, I get that, but what can I do with it then later? How can I get this into a Roth? You can.
Right. And just to put some numbers on that, let's say, again, you use a 6% average annual return. You use a fully funded TRUMP account, so $5,000 per year from birth through age 17, plus the $1,000 pilot, you know, that they put in for anybody born between, what we say, 2025 and 2028.
Yeah.
So by the time that child is 18, that account value would have grown to $157,000 if they convert that to a Roth. And it continues to grow at 6% with no further contributions by age 59 and a half, they're looking at close to $1.7 million all tax free. So that's a huge strategy to take advantage of. Makes a ton of sense.
Kids might be willing to actually forgo their allowance if they knew, hey, till I'm 18, fully fund my Trump account. When I go to retire, I'll have $1.7 million all tax-free. We'll see. My kids are still begrudgingly taking their Roth contributions instead of their allowance. So maybe I need to show them your math.
All right. And then that brings us to our fourth option, which is just take a distribution, cash it out. So ordinary income tax would apply on the pre-tax portion. There would still be that 10% early withdrawal penalty before age 59 and a half. And the basis would come from direct contributions or the basis from direct contributions comes back tax-free. So I would say this one is really going to be for like emergency situations, right? You've got an immediate need, or maybe it's a first home purchase. You're going to use it for education, something like that. If not, I mean, otherwise, you're just going to surrender decades of tax deferred, tax free compounding. So the longer you can sit on it, obviously, the better.
Yeah, agreed. Emergency only, I think, in that scenario.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And then the other thing I would just say is you if a client is leaning towards this option, you want to start that conversation before they turn 18, not after.
Yeah. I mean, we know what can happen when kids don't get any kind of guidance. Well, they see, hey, I've got this account. I turn 18. I've got access to it. We don't want them liquidating that to go buy a car, not because they're irresponsible, but kids don't always make best long-term decisions. And they might think, hey, maybe that's smarter than going out and getting a loan. So it is something that we want to make sure we're having some conversations about, and parents feel comfortable having conversations with their children about, here's what the plan is now and when you turn 18 and potentially have access to this.
And that is a little different. Some parents may not understand that age 18, the handoff and the planning conversation that you've been having, they're going to get control of that money. So you better have a good one with them so that they do make great decisions when it comes to that account.
Absolutely. So I think the thing that people are going to get asked a lot about is how these Trump accounts compare to other options, other vehicles that clients are already familiar with. And then, of course, how do we turn that into an opportunity to help them figure out how to coordinate? So let's talk about where they fit relative to maybe what they already have or what they know most about. I think the first thing that we're going to hear about is, should I be doing this instead of a 529? And I think the answer is almost always, it depends, right? They solve different problems. So to me, this isn't in place of, it is an in addition to. If a client's primary goal is a retirement head start and the child has no earned income, then the Trump account wins, right? It's the only vehicle that allows contributions without earned income. That's one of the benefits of the 529, is anybody can contribute to it. But the primary goal of the 529 is education, right? It is to be used for qualified education expenses. Trump accounts are completely locked up till 18. They're not designed for education spending. So two completely different vehicles that complement each other, not necessarily compete with each other.
Sure. And if the child has earned income, a job, maybe they do modeling work, anything like that, then the child-owned Roth IRA becomes very, very competitive, right? So it has no investment restrictions. Contributions can be accessed without penalty. Qualified withdrawals are tax-free. If the earned income exists, fund the child's Roth first, right?
Yeah.
And then consider a Trump account for the pilot contribution or any employer contributions. And then just for intergenerational wealth transfer, the Trump account plus the Roth conversion is going to be one of the most efficient structures available. You're putting money in after tax. You let it compound for potentially six or more decades. And if the conversion is sequenced correctly, the entire amount passes forward tax-free. So that's a pretty compelling legacy planning story as well.
Yeah, I mean, a Roth is hard to beat. So for a kid that has earned income, we don't want to forego what they should be doing with a Roth and saying these Trump accounts are in place of it. So great point. This is compliments the Roth, and it depends on who's going to be contributing and if they have earned income. I also think for clients who want really maximum flexibility, UTMAs, the uniform transfer to minor, those still probably have a place, right? They have no contribution limits. They have no investment restrictions. They have no lockups, no guidelines. The trade-off is you don't get the you don't get the tax treatment that you do with like the Trump accounts or the 529 or the Roth accounts. It's an annual taxation on investment income. It's capital gains. It's child gets full control, but it is a lot more flexible if you want that flexibility, if you want unrestricted investment options, then that would be something that I would say would be worth knowing about. The other thing that I will say as we talk about all of these options, whether it's an UTMA or a Roth or a 529 or a Trump account, they all have different tax consequences. And we're talking very generally about taxes. Those of you that are listening are spread across various states. Know your state specific taxes. There are several states that plan to tax Trump accounts earnings at the state level, which is going to be different than what we're talking about being tax-free, like at the federal level. The current list, those that I know of, California, Hawaii, Kentucky, Massachusetts, Pennsylvania, South Carolina, and Wisconsin. That can change, obviously. This is very early in releasing these. But if you do have clients in any of those states, the math on a Trump account changes. So again, not something that we want to be caught off guard with. You want to be proactive with working with a tax professional, just making sure that you're not out advising and promoting something without knowing exactly the rules that you're playing within.
Right. And I think that that brings us to another important conversation. I mean, we've talked a lot about this, but what do we do, right? So when somebody comes to an advisor and they ask, what should I do? I would say like level one, capture the free money, right? Mm-hmm. So elect the $1,000 federal pilot contribution using that form 450-4547. Okay. So that would apply to any children born between 2028. You can capture any employer section 128 benefit up to $2,500 a year. You'll want to capture any QGCs available through those qualifying programs. And there's zero downside for eligible families. So that'd be level one. Level two would be to add regular contributions aligned with your goals. So is your college savings funded? Are your emergency funds solid? Once that's taken care of, then you can add between $2,500 and say $5,000 a year.
Yep. Okay.
The money is locked in until 18. So the client's got to be comfortable with that commitment. And then level three would be the maximum contribution plus the Roth conversion strategy, right? So you can max it out $5,000 a year plus those employer contributions, plan that Roth conversion timing in advance. Ideally, I would say parents cover the tax bill at the conversion to preserve the full Roth balance. And then this is just going to require a little more coordination, right? So may need to involve a tax professional. You'll need to, obviously, we talked about educating the child, what that means before age 18. So it takes the highest effort, but also it leads to the highest reward.
I think it's important to know what the financial capacity is and what the commitment is as you talk about those levels. So level one, like you said, capture the free money. And then we can layer planning opportunities on top of that, but know who your client is, know what their capacity is for this. And let's just start with making sure they don't leave money on the table and aren't so confused that they're looking elsewhere for how do I figure out what this is? You should be the authority on all things financial matters. So being proactive with this and helping them navigate it and making sure their questions are answered is going to be key. And here's the reality. I think every client with a child under 18 is going to hear or knows about Trump accounts from somewhere. They're going to see it on the news, social media, from their parents. The question is whether they hear about it from you or from somebody else. So get out ahead of this. I would segment your clients. I would identify every client with a child under 18, flag those families with kids born between 2025 and 2028, because they're the ones that are going to get the seed money. In my opinion, they have the most urgent action because we want to get that pilot contribution. So I would just start there and just make sure that you're the one reaching out on this and they've got you as a resource for advice.
Exactly. Be proactive. We always talk about that, you know, a personalized email, a call, maybe a text, depending on the relationship with the client. And it can be simple, right? So you could, it could just be simply titled, "With Trump accounts launching July 4th, I wanted to make sure we could talk through it. When does it make sense to find 20 minutes?" So low pressure, high value. The other thing you want to do is just educate them. So write a blog post, record a video, host a webinar. It's really new territory. So most people are confused. You've got the opportunity to be the trusted educator. Make sure your content answers the "should I do this" question, not "what is this?" And then you'll earn your seat at the table with those clients.
Yeah, absolutely. I think every conversation that you start about Trump accounts is a chance to reinforce that you're a planner, not just an account manager. So I would leverage that. Lots of ways in which you can do that. As we mentioned at the beginning, Gradient is going to be putting together the content that you can use, but you don't have to necessarily wait for that. If you have partners, CPAs that you coordinate with, make sure you're being proactive with them and letting them know, hey, you're probably going to get questions about filling out this form. If you've got somebody that's confused about where this fits into their overall plan, that's me. So that's a chance to really leverage those relationships. When you start segmenting your client base, I think it gives you direction, right? Here are the people that I've identified in my book. Here are my people that have kids that are under 18. Here's my families with children born 25 to 28. And then you can start building upon how you're going to be proactive, what kind of educational content you're going to reach out with. But I wouldn't wait until the 4th. I would get started. Record a short video on it, send an email, put it in your newsletter. Any way in which you're normally reaching out, now would be the time to do that. So anything that we missed, do you think, Josh? I know it was a lot of content that we covered.
A lot of content. I can't think of anything. I would just say, you know, these are real. Like Trump accounts, it is a real thing. It's a meaningful new planning vehicle. The legislation is live. July 4th, the accounts, you can start opening accounts. Your clients are going to hear about it. So be you know, educated on what it is. And the advisors who are going to win are the ones who show up as the expert before the call comes in, right? So yep. Be proactive.
Absolutely. Well, we appreciate everybody listening as always. If this is material that you want some help with, you want to be proactive with, you can email us, theadvisorarena@gradientib.com. If the episode was helpful, you know of others that would benefit from it, we always appreciate your support. Share it with somebody that you think would benefit, and we're happy to answer any questions or talk. You know how to reach us, and we'll see you next time. Thanks, everybody.